If you would turn with me first for our Old Testament reading, we'll be in Genesis chapter 3, a very familiar passage, but I would ask you to remember last week, as we read this last week, we talked about the promise that God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect. And I want you to see how subtle the enemy causes doubts in Adam and Eve, to doubt that God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect. So as we go into reading this familiar passage, just think about and see how subtle the enemy is to cause those doubts. Genesis chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of the tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the tree in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eye, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and the wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to man and said, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman you gave me to be with, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." If you will, flip to the gospel of Mark, chapter 14, where we'll spend the bulk of our time this morning. Mark, chapter 14. And we will actually begin in verse 38. As Jesus is speaking. Mark chapter 14, verse 38. "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time, and he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." And immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now the betrayer had given him a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him and lead him away under guard." And when he came, he went up to him at once and said, "Rabbi," and he kissed him. And they laid hands on him and seized him. But one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus said to them, "Have you come out against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled." And they all left him and fled. And a young man followed him with nothing but a linen cloth about his body. And they seized him, and he left the linen cloth and ran away naked. Let's pray again. Father God, please, in a way only you can, bless not the reading, the preaching, and the listening of your word, but also the living out of your word. May it pierce our hearts and change us from the inside out. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder this morning, how did you prepare for today. I wonder how you will prepare for tomorrow. As you look back over the last week, the last month, what was essential? What was essential for you to walk out of the door? Now, I'm not talking this morning physically. I'm not talking about whether you ate your Cheerios, about coffee, or if you packed the kids' lunches. I'm not even talking about physical appearance. I'm not talking about whether you took a shower. I hope you did this morning. Whether you brushed your teeth or if you got dressed. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. What I'm talking about is spiritually. Spiritually, how did you prepare to come here this morning? It's amazing how many people don't have their quiet time on Sundays. It's amazing how many people don't have that time of preparation with God on Sundays. It's amazing how many people come to the Lord's house and are not prepared to hear from Him. What has been your habit? What will tomorrow look like? How will you, on Monday morning, prepare spiritually for the day ahead of you? There's three things that we're going to look at specifically this morning to see if you're doing this daily, to see if you're preparing spiritually daily. The first thing that we'll look at is, are you dying to your flesh? Are you confessing your sins? Are you pleading? Are you crucifying your selfish desires, your selfish thoughts, your selfish actions? Are you putting those to death? And then, are you trusting God? Are you trusting Him for what will happen in that day? Are you trusting that He will give you the strength and the wisdom for what happens that day? And thirdly, are you putting your armor on? Are you protecting yourself? As Jesus' words from last week and this week, are you watching and are you praying? I'm afraid if we're not doing this before we walk out of the house, not only are we a danger to ourselves, but we're a danger to everyone around us. In the military, if you are called to stand guard, not only is your life in danger, but everyone else that you're protecting is in danger. If you are found sleeping when you're supposed to be on guard. So this morning, we will look at, are you prepared spiritually? Last week, we looked at what to do with a distressed heart. And this morning, we look at the beginning stages of the consequences. The consequences of what option you took, of what route you took. Quickly, let me remind you of the two options. You have a distressed heart. You can deal with it yourself on your own strength. That's called unprepared. That's called you're not ready for what the day has in store for you. Or you can be honest with God. And you can lay your distressed heart at His feet and allow Him to deal with it. That's called being prepared. That's called allowing Him to prepare you for the day. When we left, the disciples were sleeping. Jesus told them to watch and pray. And there they are, asleep. Jesus comes to wake them up because the enemy's coming. You see, it's too late for them. They were supposed to be preparing, but they didn't. Unfortunately, life doesn't stop when we're tired. Unfortunately, life doesn't stop if we're unprepared. And here we see this. The scripture says, while Jesus was talking to them, while the disciples were fighting to wake up, the enemy comes. The first way to prepare is to die to the flesh. There's no way to say this nicely. There is, I may hurt some feelings, or as you guys say, step on some toes, but your flesh stinks. Your flesh is rotten. Your flesh is evil. And it needs to be killed daily. Your flesh's desires, your flesh's wants, your flesh's agenda needs to be crucified daily. If we don't, we'll be destroying each other's flesh. We'll be destroying each other. We'll look at this a little later, but Ephesians says what? The war is not against flesh and blood. The war is not against each other. The war isn't husband versus wife. The war isn't parents versus children. That's what the enemy wants you to think. The enemy wants you to think the war is against each other. It's not. The war is against the desires of our flesh. The war is against the rulers and the authorities, the spiritual forces of evil in this present darkness. The war is against the desire of our flesh and the desire of the Spirit. Part of the war, the most important part of the war, is dying to our flesh, dying to ourselves. Jesus told the disciples his desire. Watch and pray. The disciples' flesh had other ideas. Let's fall asleep. That sounds better. Here you see the clash of two competing desires. Listen to this morning. Every single time we sin, every time we are disobedient, we are saying, I don't believe God. Every single time you sin, you're saying, I believe that I know better. I believe that my way will work out better. That I believe I'm wiser than God. Do you see how silly it sounds saying it? But every time we sin, that's what we're doing. We're saying, no, my will, not his. No, I'm wise, not him. Let me read to you from Galatians. You don't have to turn there. But listen to how these are in opposition to each other. I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. I say, walk by the Spirit, be in the Scriptures, and you won't gratify those things of the flesh. It says, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. The desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. They are in opposition to each other. They are fighting each other. Our flesh is fighting against the Spirit, fighting against the way God wants us to live. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evidence. And then it goes on to list. Sexual immorality, idolatry, sorcery, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, envy, drunkenness, divisions, all these things. That's the flesh. That's what the flesh desires. That's what the flesh wants. That's what we do in and of ourselves. Then it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh, have died to the flesh. Do you see how desperately we need to be doing this every day? Do you see how each one of us doesn't wake up joyful? Doesn't wake up wanting to show love to each other? We so desperately need to destroy that flesh. This week, I shared a thought quickly at chapel with our students here. And I wanted to share it with you guys. It just fits so perfect here. I want you to think about this. Every single morning, when the alarm goes off, you have an option before you. Right? Get up or hit the snooze button. Right? Every single morning, you have that option before you. What does your flesh want to do? Snooze, right? Your flesh wants to snooze. But God wants us to get up and get prepared. God wants us to get up and get spiritually prepared for the day. Of course the enemy wants you to sleep in, because he doesn't want you in the Word. He wants you to wake up, have to get in the shower, brush your teeth, eat, and then get out the door, and you're unprepared. You haven't spent any time in the Word. You haven't spent any time praying. How are you going to react? In the flesh? With those fits of rage? Right? We're not going to be self-controlled. We're not going to be loving. It takes work to do that. It takes work for the fruit of the Spirit to grow out of us. I want to challenge you this morning. And trust me, I am not being I'm not trying to be legalistic about this. I'm not saying that you'll go to hell if you don't do this. I just want to challenge you this morning. I want you to set your alarm this week, every day this week, a half hour earlier, maybe an hour earlier, maybe even an hour and a half earlier. I want you to commit to one of those and say, I'm going to set it up early. I'm going to get up and I'm going to spend time preparing. I'm going to use that block of time, cut everything else out. That's my time with God to prepare for the day and watch and see what God does. Because there's something about when we prepare for the day that we'll look for opportunities to be used. And I promise you, God will place opportunities in your path for you to be used. If you block off that time to prepare, if you block off that time to allow Him to do a work inside of you, to destroy the flesh, to destroy that bitterness, to destroy that anger, to destroy the flesh, you'd be amazed. I want you to think about something else. And you can write this one down. It is inevitable that you will lose sleep. Okay? It's inevitable. You will lose sleep. Now follow me on this. Because I just told you, you're going to lose an hour of sleep to prepare. Okay? So you either do that and you prepare, or you hit the snooze button, you wake up, you don't spend any time preparing yourself. You go out into the world, and guess what? The consequences of your sin, you are going to lose sleep over. I guarantee it. When you're unprepared in the world and you're reacting in the flesh, you will lose sleep over it. Because that's how the enemy works. Think about King David. King David. What's the scriptures tell us? It was springtime, and kings go off to war. King David is supposed to be prepared and off to war. What scripture tell us? Where was King David? It's in the afternoon and he's getting off of his couch. And he wanders around. He's supposed to be at war. He's supposed to be prepared. He's supposed to be fighting. Instead, he's sleeping. And he wakes up. Oh, he falls into temptation. Do you see how good the enemy is? He knows every single one of us. What it is when we're unprepared to put in front of us that will cause us to stumble. That's what happens with King David. He sees Bathsheba there, naked. And he loses control. Do you think he lost sleep when God took his son? Do you think he lost sleep when he was trying to figure out what to do with Uriah? He lost. Do you see what I'm saying? It's inevitable. One way or the other, we're going to lose sleep. Either we lose it in preparing to fight the fight, or we lose it because we're lazy and we step right into temptation and step right into temptation because we didn't prepare ourselves. Think about Peter here. Peter. He's unprepared. So what's he do? Pulls out the sword and he tries to chop off the dude's head. But he gets his ear. Reacts in the flesh, not in the spirit. Do you see what I'm getting at? If we're not preparing ourselves and you're going to go out there in the world, you're going to be chopping off people's ears. Because that's what our flesh does. It's abrasive. It's ugly. Remember, it stinks. Unless we're destroying that. Unless we're dying to that. Are you prepared? Are you prepared when your son or daughter approaches you with something that they're struggling with? Are you going to react in the flesh and destroy them and push them farther away? Or are you going to be prepared and allow the Spirit to work And allow God to use that as an opportunity to grow and draw you closer. Are you prepared for tomorrow? For Monday? For another Monday? You got to do the same things over and over and over. Do you see how frustrating that can get and unfulfilling that can get if you're working in the flesh? Or are you going to prepare and say, okay, God, in what I do over and over and over, I'm going to do it for your glory and look for opportunities to share the gospel. Look for opportunities to be a light. Do you see how different your mindset will be when you wake up? If you're doing it in the flesh, yeah, it's hard. It's grueling. If you do it in the spirit, you know that there's a purpose. You know that you are where you're supposed to be for a purpose. You know that the people that you talk to are there for a purpose. Are you prepared when somebody wants to spread gossip? Because our flesh will run with it. But in the spirit, we can stop it. Are you prepared when you have opportunity to cheat or to lie or to steal? You see, when the enemy finds a person spiritually sleeping, that's when he goes to work. Not until we die to our flesh can we trust God. It's so strange. The disciples here in the other accounts in the Gospels, they see what's coming and they ask Jesus, Lord, should we strike our swords? Should we bring out our swords? Do you want us to fight? They ask, but then they don't wait for guidance. They don't wait for his answer. They just run ahead. And Peter goes in to battle. You see, he's battling in his flesh. They asked, but they didn't wait for the answer. Was Peter sincere? Of course he was. He didn't want Jesus to die. He thought he shouldn't die. How many times have we gone to God with a problem, went and seeked an answer from him, only to go running on ahead before he gives us the answer? Only to go run ahead with our flesh and our desires before we get an answer. You see, we're either truly trusting in Christ and following his directions, or we're out there blazing our own trail. And for those of us that have tried to blaze our own trail, it's a mess. It hurts. It brings a lot of sleepless nights. Here's a question. As we look at this scene in the garden, as we think about our own lives, whose battle is it really? You see, if you understand that it's really God's battle, then you will trust him. You see, what's the outcome of that battle? What's the outcome of those conversations that you have with people? Do you rest on God working through you? Or do you rely on your own strength and your own wisdom? You see, I guess the real question, the important question is, whose outcome do you want in those conversations? Do you see what I'm asking? Do you really want what God wants, or do you want what you want? There's a penetrating verse from James that hurts as I read it. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. The flesh of man, the anger, the bitterness, the whatever sin that you struggle with, does not produce what God wants. You see, as you go into your day tomorrow, do you want what God wants? Because you can't produce that with your anger. You can't produce that with your lust and your flesh. You can't produce what God is trying to do, which will cause sleepless nights. Finally, the question comes, are you wearing any armor? Are you really prepared? very strange two verses here. the only place that it is in the Bible. My wife actually said, do you really have to even talk about those verses? Let me read it to you. A young man followed him with nothing but linen cloth about his body, and they seized him. But he left the linen cloth and ran away naked. What we have here is a young man. Many believe it's Mark who wrote this gospel, but we can't be positive. Some young man that lived near the garden who hears this commotion, hears Jesus getting arrested, jumps out of bed, throws on something, and runs out to see what happens. Of course, they try to capture him, rip off whatever he threw on, and he runs away naked. The reason why I bring that up, the reason why I even talk about it this morning, is because he knew he was naked. When he ran away, he knew he was naked. I ask you this morning, do you know that you're naked? Do you know that you don't have the armor on? Do you know that you need something on? See, not only do we need to crucify our flesh and take off those dirty rags, we need to be covered up. You see, we can't be wearing our self-righteous rags, thinking that we're better than anybody else, and put on the armor of God. It won't fit over that. You see, it takes us emptying ourselves to realize, I need to be covered with something. I need to put something on. I want to read something from Ephesians. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to take stand against the schemes of the devil. So Paul's saying here, you need to put on the whole armor of God because Monday, tomorrow, even this afternoon, the enemy has a scheme. And he's got traps set for you. And you need to have your armor on. And then you say, why? Why do I need my armor on? Why do I need to watch and pray? Why do I need to destroy my flesh? Let me quickly, I promise very quickly, let me overwhelm you with what we're being called to do. This comes before. Listen to this. As a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you to walk in the manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, to maintain unity in the Spirit. For unity, we need to put on the armor. And then listen to this. Be imitators of God. Can't do that on our own. The imitators of God. And then it says, no hint of sexual immorality. No hint. Guys, don't even look at it. No filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking, which are out of place. Nothing should fall out of our mouths that is hurtful, that is crude, that is foolish, that is damaging. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. And then it goes on to say, husbands, be submittable. I don't know if that's a word, but it fits. Because Jesus says, look, husbands, live in such a way that your wives want to follow you. Because you're so close to God, they want to follow you. Children, obey your parents. For this is right. Fathers, don't provoke your children. Don't make it harder on them by not following God. Do you see, when we read this, it's obvious to me that I need to put my armor on. Because I can't do that by myself. My flesh fights for that. Our flesh wants to not do that. Do you see how desperately we need to put on His full armor daily? Let me tie this all together. The disciples were unprepared. And as God promised, as Jesus promised, they fell into temptation. It's the same with us. If we are unprepared, we will fall into temptation. There is no way around it. If we're not preparing spiritually to fight the battle, we are losing the battle. And the enemy is having his way with us. And that will cause a lot of sleepless nights. Not just for us, but for the people that we love. Jesus is always prepared. Jesus was always walking in the Spirit. Was Jesus prepared to die? Absolutely. He died for us. That's what we celebrate this morning. Was Jesus prepared to trust God His Father when no one else would? Absolutely. You remember Him in the garden? Not my will, yours. I trust you. It's going to be hard, but I trust you. Was Jesus prepared to put on the armor? This is so beautiful. Not only was Jesus prepared to put on the armor, He is the armor. Do you get that? The belt of truth? Jesus is the truth, the way, right? This righteousness, He is the righteousness. The helmet of salvation, He is our salvation. Do you see what I'm saying? Jesus is the armor. What we put on, what Scripture is saying is, destroy your flesh and put on Christ. That's the armor. And think about in the garden here. I want you to think about the servant that Peter chops off his ear. In Jesus' presence, I want you to think about this. Jesus protects him. Jesus is the armor there. Right? What was Peter's desire? What was Peter's flesh? Do you think he's like, ooh, I know what will help Jesus. I'm going to chop his ear off. No. Peter was going for the throat. Peter was going to kill him. Okay? That was his fleshly desire. And Jesus, in his presence, protects him. And then, what? As he chops off his ear, what's he do? Jesus picks up that ear and heals him. That's the armor that we are to put on. That's the armor that we're to be walking around. That's what you're supposed to put on when you walk out of here. Do you see how beautiful? I hope you see what your homework is this week. I hope the application is clear. What we need to do daily is crucify our flesh, destroy our flesh, so that we can trust in Him by putting on the armor, by putting on Christ. Think what a difference that will make in your marriages, conversations with your children, in the workplace, in our church, in the community. Think about what, if we all committed, I'm going to wake up and get myself prepared spiritually. I'm going to die to myself and trust in God and put on Christ. Let's pray. Father God, thank You that You don't leave us to ourselves. Thank You that it's not up to us. Thank You that You gave us Your Holy Spirit. Thank You that You gave us Christ to put on us. I pray that You would help us with that. I pray that You would help us to die to ourselves. I pray that even right now, as they're thinking about, boy, I can't wake up earlier. I got enough busyness in my day. That they would see how desperate they are to set aside that time with You to prepare for the day. And I pray blessings. I pray that You would meet each one of us in those wee hours of the morning. You would reveal Yourself, that You would strengthen us, that You would give us wisdom, that You would give us discernment, that You would prepare us to fight in Your Spirit, wanting Your will, not ours. Oh, Father, how we love You. We praise You. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.